Oh, she just came on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we have a special guest with us, Patrice Save, who is going to tell us about a different type of soulmate or twin flame. She has a relationship with a non-physical divine partner, which she has found has fulfilled her life in a way that no physical partner ever has. Patrice is a certified polarity therapist, a longtime student of A Course in Miracles. She studies many different spiritual paths, including Kelantic science, and she's an energy healer, well, in her polarity therapy, that's energy healing. But she's a well-rounded, wonderful, spiritually advanced soul. And Patrice, we're really glad to have you on. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. What a beautiful introduction. I feel that in my heart.
Well, great. So, Patrice, tell us, what is this thing? What is this divine partner you have?
Well, what is this thing is a good question. I mean, you know, there's feelings that I have about what it is, but it's helpful that you ask that question because I just want to preface it all by saying, you know, that I don't really know for absolutely sure what it is. I only know some of the interpretations of my experience, and, you know, it changes. Like, for example, it came to me when I was back in the late 80s. I had a vision. I was in a meditative state, and this male non-physical being, you know, came in the meditation. He didn't physically show up, you know, where I could touch him kind of a thing, but it felt like that because it was a visual that I could see. And it felt to me at the time, which I was, you know, very into kind of a more of a traditional orientation, it felt like Jesus. He looked like Jesus. But over the years, you know, for a long time I thought, oh, it was Jesus, and that's how it felt to me. And then over the years, it's changed. And so, you know, it's not real specifically defined, to answer your question. It evolves, I guess, put it that way. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what does this divine partner say or do? Or is he always there, or do you have to ask him to come?
Okay, yeah. He's definitely not always there. Let me take that back. I'm sure he's always there, but I'm not always aware of it. I feel very strongly, and this is more on a conceptual level, actually, than something that I live 100%, but I feel that we're all blessed with guides in our lives constantly. It's just that we don't always know it. So I'm not any more special or different than anybody that I happen to have this being that I have more of a tangible relationship with. I think everybody has these types of beings. So yes, he's always there, but am I always aware of it? No, not at all. Sometimes I can go for days without feeling access to his presence.
Okay, so you use the word guide. Is this a guide that you said you had that vision a long time ago? Is this a guide that you see all the time, or is it mostly that you feel or hear, or how do
yeah.
you connect?
Yeah, good question. You know, I mean, basically what you're touching on is something that I've learned over the years, which is that we sense things primarily in three ways, you know, visually, like auditorily, and then aesthetically. So I experience him in all three ways, actually. Predominantly, though, it's auditory. I hear him. I hear the messages. We have conversations, and they're in my head type conversations. So that is the primary communication between us. But sometimes I also see him, and if, like, especially the first time, I mean, it was blatantly obvious that he was physically there. I mean, I could tell you exactly what he looked like, what he was wearing. You know, he's sitting right there in front of me, and I knew when he entered the room, and I knew the way that he left the room and everything. So it was very visual. But then thirdly, the kinesthetic level, I mean, oftentimes I feel him, and I have this sense that I think is not unique for me. A lot of people feel this sort of like a kundalini energy spiraling through my body, mostly around the spinal column. Like sometimes when we're communicating or when I sense him, I'll have this rush of this kundalini energy that just like waves through me. And it's like, oh, hi. I call him Akia, A-K-E-I-A, Akia. And I'll go, oh, hi, Akia. You know, I feel you. Yep, you're here. So I experience it in all those ways.
That is really cool. So sometimes he comes when you haven't asked him to come, and other times he comes when you have asked him to come. There's no necessarily set way.
Yeah, that's right. You did ask that. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes when I'm asking, I really don't often ask for him to come as much as I affirm that he's there. I'll say something, like I've been doing this lately, where I check in multiple times during the day and I just go, okay, you know, hi, Akia, you're on my left. Like I usually sense him on my left side. I don't know exactly why. So I'll just be like, okay, you know, you're here. And it's just like a more of an affirmative type of statement that I make that is like a call, you know, to mm-hmm. him to be there. And then oftentimes he'll come when I don't necessarily ask. You know, but I'm maybe in a quandary about something, or maybe I'm celebrating something. I'm feeling really joyful about something, and then it'll just automatically feel like, oh, yeah, here he is. He's here.
Okay. So when we've talked about this before, you've almost said it's almost like this Akia, this non-physical divine partner, has almost taken the place of a male partner in this physical realm.
Right.
And so could you give us a little background on your relationship history with men in bodies and how this whole Akia thing relates to that or has helped heal that?
Okay, yeah. That's kind of a long answer, so I'll try
and
to
that's okay,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it in segments a little bit. But, yeah, basically, the way that I see it, and again, you know, like I said earlier, it's not a fact that I absolutely say that this is true, but this is what it seems to be to me. So I had, at 13, I had my first boyfriend, and it was very, very intense. It was like a destined, you know, in love type of feeling for both of us. It was, you know, there were all kinds of circumstances, which I won't get into, but it was very unique and unusual, very, very much like even to this day. This week I was doing a meditation and his name was Mark. He came up for me, and it was just like there's a really heartful, innocent wonder like experience with him. So I treasure that and honor that. And yet it did end after about 2.5 years or so. And then we got back together several times, but it just never was, you know, going to pan out. And then he ended up dying. He died after we were out of relationship, but we were still very young. He died at 19. And it was very devastating to me when he died, just because of the impact that he had had on my life and, you know, always even still does to this day. So I feel very blessed with that. And then there was a second guy who actually I was involved with very seriously in love, both of us were, when Mark died. And and that was kind of confusing because, like, I was really in love with Matt and vice versa, and yet I felt all this pain when Mark died. And so I learned through that love doesn't end. It doesn't die. It just continues in different forms, and that there's actually nothing, quote, wrong, you know, with when a relationship in the physical form ends, if you can still feel the love that was always there that never goes away. So that was the second major relationship that I didn't really mention a whole lot about, which I don't need to, except the fact that he and I were together for I think we were together for 3 years, roughly, about the same time period as Mark and I. And then he came back into my life 20 years later with a huge bang, and it was like not a coincidence at all. I was in my 40s then. And we thought we were in love again and, you know, that we were going to pick up where we left off when we were in our teens and so on, but it didn't really pan out. And so that was like a hugely dramatic experience for me. Not only that we had this major relationship when we were in our high school and college years, but that he came back around 20 years later, and that it was like such a huge, huge feeling of a connection again. And so I thought he was like a soulmate that, you know, I was destined to be with, and then, you know, had all these sort of excitements and interpretations, but then that didn't pan out either. And then just lastly, before I stop, the third one was a guy that I met in college. And again, just like the other two, it was like we were just like this intense in love type of relationship. And that lasted for a couple years. And it was just like I thought for sure I was going to marry him. And, you know, we talked about our future and all this and that. And then he ended up breaking up with me. And then he also, like Matt, came back into my life 20 years later in my 40s. And, you know, all these feelings, you know, came back as if they were never gone. So with all of these guys, it was like I had this intense in love relationship, which very few people, I think, even have once in their lifetime. And I had it three times. And then they all ended after, you know, just two or three years. But they all kind of, the love never really died, even though it felt like it died on a physical form level. And I was heartbroken and I took it, you know, to mean a lot of things, that something was wrong with me. But in the end, especially when the two guys came back in my 40s, it was a real gift because it made me see that that love never dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how would you relate or compare IKEA to what you had with these men?
Well, it's kind of a roundabout answer that I'll say. What I've come to understand, and sometimes I, you know, I lose track of this and I question and doubt, but for the most part, I really, especially lately, because I had a reading the other day with a woman who was very intuitive, and she told me things that, you know, I just met her. She had no idea of any of my history, and she just started saying things to me. And one of the things she brought up was, you know, that you are in this lifetime to experience love in the truest, you know, sense of the word, not through form particularly, although you may share it with people in form. And, you know, then we talked a little bit about my history with men, especially those three relationships that I mentioned, and also this non-physical being with IKEA. And, you know, she just validated a lot that I had already felt, which was, what if this lifetime is about not having love in physical form that, you know, is like a life partner that I spend my whole life with, but instead, what if my mission, if you will, or my life lesson is to learn how to be in love within myself and then to, you know, be sort of a demonstration or a living example of how that is possible, especially in a woman, because a lot of times, at least the way I was raised, because I was born in the late 50s, and so I was raised still in the time when it felt like you had to have a man to complete you. And even to this day, I think society has a very strong message that, you know, you need to have a partner, and if you don't have a partner, something's wrong. So my mission is becoming clearer that this is part of my purpose for being here in this lifetime, is to be a demonstration that you don't have to have a male partner in physical form to be complete, but that, in fact, there's a love that you can experience that is beyond, even better than, you know, physical form. And, you know, that is kind of, especially at some times, what I experience with my divine partner.
Wow, even better than. I want to remind people, if you're listening, you can call in with questions at 917-932-8881. How would you say this love with IKEA, or the love with yourself in IKEA, maybe it's the same thing, is better even than these intense soulmate relationships you had?
Well, yeah, you know, and I guess when I hear you say that, I feel like I need to be careful about saying that it's better than that, because really, in the purest form of love, there's no comparison. There's no good or bad or better or worse. So maybe that's not really the best way for me to express it. I guess a better way for me to express it is to say, you know, one of my missions, you know, from 13 when I was so in love with Mark and, you know, he in love with me and the specialness, whatever, special kind of love that we had, it's like love is love, and it's to be experienced by all of us, you know. But for me, speaking for myself, it's like I've just been on a mission, in a sense, not even consciously always, to really experience love in the most pure possible form that I can in this human condition. And so that's what I think this is all about. Like, I experienced it with a big bang in physical form between 13 and 22. You know, and by 22, all three of these very intense love relationships were over. And that's not a coincidence, you know. And then in my, so like 6 years later was when I met Akia, my first love experience of this non-physical being. And so it's like this love that I have sought, that I've wanted to experience, couldn't, and again, this is my interpretation, it could change, but it seems like it couldn't contain itself in physical form. You know, with such intensity and the way that it all ended, and that it all happened so quick with three people at such a young age, it's come clear to me that this love can't be contained. So that's why, you know, I said better than, you know, even though I use that term loosely, better than physical form, because the love is always present and always available, and it's something that I experience within myself regardless of whether or not there's someone in my life that is mirroring that back to me or sharing that level of intensity. And with Akia, this divine partner, I feel it sometimes with such intensity that it seems like, oh, okay, well, maybe I can't experience this level of it in physical form, but I have it with you, you know. As I'm talking to him, I'll say, I have it with you, so gosh, I mean, why would I even want it to be any different than this? I feel really grateful and lucky that I have this, and this is like one of the greatest gifts that I could ever ask for, so why would I want to, you know, have it in any other way?
That's interesting, and I want to say to our listeners that it's not like Patrice can't get men. you talked about how society looks at people like if you don't have a partner, there's something wrong with you. And The listeners out there don't know Patrice personally or haven't seen her, but I can tell you she turns heads when she walks into a room. She could get any man she wants almost. So this is almost like what you say with your mission. A mission to experience true love, not just what our society calls love between two people, because a lot of what happens in relationships in society is once the other person disappoints us or doesn't meet our needs, we kick them out the door.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and, you know, I did want to touch on this. You just brought this up, and I feel a little uncomfortable bringing it up because I don't usually talk about this, but I've been told, especially on Friday when I had this session, that it's sort of time for me to come out of the closet with some of this stuff. So you touched on the thing about, you know, the way that I look, and I don't say this, you know, in sort of like an arrogant type of way, but it's true. In fact, I asked this for clarity recently. You know, why was I born into the body and, you know, the facial beauty and such that I have? I mean, I am a very good looking woman, especially for my age, and I've been always physically fit and attractive. So why would I come into such a physical form like this if I was meant to, you know, have a non-physical relationship with a man and not really, you know, kind of, I don't know, experience it as fully on a physical level? And it's kind of, you know, it's part of the illusion, you know, which you and I talk about, this dream that we're in, that I would set it up this way, because there's a very strong belief in our society that if you're very good looking and such, and, you know, you can turn heads and all that, you know, then there would be no reason why you'd have trouble finding a relationship with a man. But that's all just a bunch of hooey, you know, it's irrelevant. In fact, a lot of people who aren't that attractive or good looking have relationships with people, you know, either from the opposite sex or the same sex, if that's their sexual preference. And it's, you know, very successful. It has nothing to do with what you look like. And so that's a part of what I think this particular lifetime has been about for me, is can you come in to physical form and be very attractive and sexy and all of this kind of thing, and yet can you walk away from that? Can you disregard that as important and really find what true love is in the non-physical realm? You know, even though you have all these, quote, physical attractive characteristics, you know, that are supposed to be, you know, great for attracting a mate, I needed to learn that that was not as important as it seems. And you know me, you know, it's not been easy. There's been times when I've been depressed about it. There's been times when I've thought, this is confusing. Why? You know, why is it not something I can experience in physical form, especially, you know, with whatever, the attraction that I feel that I have to offer. And yet, you know, I've had to continue to chip away at that, as it's not that important. It's not that relevant.
And I would think that a lot of people, if they're not on a spiritual path that talks about everything being an illusion, would say, oh boy, I don't know about that. I think I'd rather take a relationship here with really great sex and all the good stuff here than go for that woo-woo, dreamlike
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what you're saying is, this is satisfying me on a deeper, more truthful level, like the love. What happens in relationships here is that we, even with our truest of soulmates here, there are characteristics about them that will drive us crazy. We can't live with them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can't live with them. Sometimes we can't live without them. And even like what you had said earlier about the intensity or the depth of this love that can't be contained in form, or it's not easy to contain it in form, because some of my research has shown that twin flames actually fail, the relationships fail more often than they work out, because the intensity of that oneness, that depth, that connection is so powerful that human beings with their egos and all their fears almost can't do it in
right.
body.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I haven't had an experience of that. You know,
well,
a twin
I don't know. It
flame
like
actually.
Maybe Mark was.
I don't think he was a twin flame. I would definitely say that all three of them were soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've come to learn, you know, and I know there's a lot of material out there about what a twin flame is. So it's, you know, it's all kind of a matter of interpretation. But to me, a twin flame is like the first or the last split from source that we made, you know, of our one soul splitting into kind of two souls. And that those two went separate ways and have different lifetimes that they're going to experience themselves as human. But then they come back together eventually in like a, quote, last lifetime on the planet, if you will. And that doesn't feel like, that feels like I'm not there yet, if you can put it that way, that I'm not there yet. So I don't think Mark was that for me. I think that it was like just in a very intense soulmate. And to me, I think of soulmates as like we have a soul group that we've had many lifetimes and experiences with, and we come into lifetimes to re-experience certain things with them. I think that fits to me more what he was.
Okay, and that's a
well,
good
actually,
point
what all
you
three
bring
of
up.
Them were. Yeah.
That, yeah, that's a good point, because there are a lot of different definitions out there, and truly only the person who experiences it themselves can say what it was, and often can sometimes only say it in hindsight. So I know that with the person in my life that I would characterize as a twin flame, if that's what he is, feels deeper and different than the other soulmates I've had, and I've had
mm-hmm.
several of them too. And someone mentioned to me recently that his picture of it was like a double yolked egg. Like every once in a while you'll crack an egg that has two yolks in it, or it could be similar to identical twins, that twin flame is such an identical twin like that.
Yeah.
That it really does feel different than other relationships. Now, ultimately though, since we're all part of the quantum field and this is all the dream and we're really all one, there's really no such thing as separate soulmates But here in the illusion, I think we experience those just for like what you were talking about earlier, the mission, that the whole point of soulmates or divine partners or twin flames or guides or whatever is to get us back to source. So if you could say how Akiya, you've already said a little bit about this, but if you could say more, how your relationship with Akiya has brought you back to truth, to God, to source, your higher self.
Yeah. Well, let's see. How do I want to answer that? Let me just say that I have a sense a lot of times, especially the more that I've looked into what a, quote, twin flame is, I feel like Akiya is my twin flame in a lot of ways.
Oh.
So it fits the description for me because we can't be together in this lifetime in physical form, but we are together in this lifetime, you know, through this non-physical relationship. And the way that that's brought me closer to source or higher self in that sense is that it's helped me to understand, similar to what you just said, you know, that there really is no separation and that we are really all one. And so I guess, I don't know if this is going to come out, what it feels like to me, and this has happened in the last few years, especially since I've been in Kelantic science studying that, is that it's very, very clear to me now, still on a conceptual level, not like I totally live it and I do time travel or anything, but I definitely believe that we are multidimensional beings and that we're living simultaneous lives on other dimensions. So Akiya, for example, sometimes feels to me like, oh, he's out there like living in a, say, dimension ABC, you know, wherever that is, some other universe, whatever, some other planet. And I'm here as Patrice in this human form on planet Earth. Neither of us are really, well, let me put it this way. I'm not really a human. I'm just happen to be in human form right now. But I, the true me of who and what I really am, is a multidimensional being. And I'm just time traveling in different, you know, simultaneous lives. So I happen to be in human form at this time, but it's not my identity. It's just an experience that I'm going through. Where Akiya is like at another dimension, he's living the life that he's living, wherever that is, and we can't be in the same dimension in physical human form, but we don't need to because we come together for communion in the more internal way. And in a sense, that communion that we have together is like my higher self. He kind of represents for me my higher self. Like I turn to him as a guide and I feel more connected to my, you know, my true self, my one self when I'm in communion with him. So it's like he kind of brings me to that. I don't know if bringing me to that. He makes that feeling more a reality of, oh, right, that's my higher self.
Well, that is really cool because if the twin flame is a reflection of the oneness, a reflection of the most pure divine love, then he would represent that for you, symbolize that for you, or remind you of that. And so it sounds like what you're saying is how he has helped you spiritually is brought you back to your higher self, your truth, the truth of the love that you are.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is very nice because what we had put in the introduction was so many people want to meet their soulmate or want to meet their twin flame and don't. And yet what your experience is that possibly could be other people's experience as well, that maybe it's not here. Like I had a friend one time where we were talking about twin flames in a group setting, and she just said, she goes, oh, I've always known my twin flame is not here. I just know it. He's somewhere else. And I was so curious, like, how does she know that, or how does she feel that? She goes, he's not in this lifetime with me. And so it's just almost like a knowing, but it would seem like people would have to have really be tuned in to these other dimensions or tuned into their spirituality in order to make contact with who this or whatever this is. So would you have any suggestions for people on how they could call in their twin flame?
Yeah, interesting question. I can't really say that I have suggestions for how to do it, because for me it was just a gift. It was a blessing that I never planned on. It just all happened. So the most important suggestion that I would give would be kind of a general statement of, you know, just asking their guidance or their guides for the experience of what it would be for them to have a twin flame, and is that something that is what they're meant to experience in this lifetime? What I've come to learn, especially more recently, I'm getting a lot more confident, is that we are not in the driver's seat. Like, we don't control what happens in a particular lifetime, because on some level it's already planned. You know, we have life lessons, I believe, that we chose to come into this lifetime to experience, and that was, you know, planned ahead of time. And so, you know, it may not be somebody's part of their plan this time around that they're going to have a twin flame. And so it's important to not try to use our ego or our wants or our desires to have something that we're not meant to have this time. So I think it's wiser to turn it over to one's relationship with their higher power and say, if this is what I'm meant to experience, you know, please show me the way. But if it's not what I'm to experience, then please let me know what it is that I am here to experience so that I can be aligned with that. Because mm-hmm. I think what's most important is that we're aligned with our soul and what we came into this human form this time around to experience. That's more important than experiencing a twin flame, in my opinion.
Oh, that's a really important answer, because what you're doing is putting God and the higher plan ahead of ego desires. I'd like to remind people listening in that the call-in number, if you have questions, is 917-932-8881. And Patrice, I'll repeat this at the end of the show as well, but how could people get a hold of you?
My website is www.lovewholeself.com. Love, whole, W-H-O-L-E, self.com, all one word. And also my phone number is 734-262-9395.
And you do coaching, don't you?
I do, yeah. I have a variety of services that I offer through Love, Whole, Self. I have a program called Being Fully Alive. That's an online 30-day, daily lesson type program. We actually talked about in our last interview on dealing or living with depression and anxiety. And then I also I sell MP3 downloads of visualizations for people who want guided visualizations and help and assistance in various ways. And then I also do one-on-one, I guess you could call it coaching for lack of a better word, spiritual counseling, facilitating, whatever, yeah.
Okay, great. And since you offer that coaching, I would think that this would be a good service for people who do feel frustrated in the soulmate love arena. One of the things that I thought about as you talked was how law of attraction, that's so popular these days, and attract your soulmate is one of the most, it's either attract your soulmate or attract money, I think would probably be the two top things that the law of attraction is used for. And I think the law of attraction is all well and good. It shows us the power of our mind. It helps us to go to a higher vibration of what makes us joyful as opposed to what makes us depressed. But I think it's this speaks to something you said, that if it's not in the higher plan, you can do all the law of attraction, visualizations, affirmations, even getting rid of your old guilt and junk. But if it's not in the higher plan for you to have a soulmate in this lifetime, you're not going to get one. And it doesn't mean you necessarily failed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I mean, I'm just reiterating basically what you and I both said. But, yeah, that's why it's more important to get in touch with what is my plan in this lifetime and not dictate what you want it to be. And, you know, you're absolutely right about the money. And money and relationships, or, you know, love are always the big ones. And the third one is health. You know, what about health and so on?
Yeah.
People, you know, we want to control those parts. And there's a... It's a very dangerous sort of message that is out there, and even in the Law of Attraction, when that was a big hit through The Secret and everything, you know, that it, that basically could lead one to believe that, you know, something's wrong with me if I don't have these things in my life that I want, you know, like money, health, or love in a relationship. And so I got to do all these things and to attract that, and then I'll be successful. But we're really defeating our soul's purpose if we're operating from that point of view, because that may not be what we're here to experience this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, we taking a step back, you and I have been friends for a little over 10 years, I guess, and I've seen a change in you since you accepted IKEA and your mission to have true love in the formless way, in the true way, not limited to bodies. I've seen you become much more peaceful, much happier, and not that you might not even have a relationship in form here in the future, but you aren't grasping for it. And in the past, you would say, well, what am I doing wrong, or how come I don't have a relationship? And I was always of the mind that, well, you could have any guy if you wanted to, if you just wanted to settle for a guy who was a nice guy and maybe not the perfect soulmate, you'd have your pick of hundreds of men. You know, there's no doubt, because of your looks and your personality and all of that. But that Law of Attraction can lead to that sense of, I'm doing something wrong, and really, we're not.
Right. Yeah, and touching on what you just said, what a person like myself has to come to terms with is, you know, having a relationship with a man in physical form isn't the pinnacle of success that society makes it out to be. I mean, it's not that anything is wrong, or not that I don't want that, because I really do want that. But what I want more is the pure love in the form that it's meant to be for me in this life. So when you get your priorities straight, or when I get my priorities straight, you know, then I become less compelled to want to have something that is, you know, maybe not what I'm supposed to experience. And maybe I am, this is still, the jury is still out on this one, you know, maybe I am going to have another really intense relationship with a man in physical form in this lifetime, but maybe I have to get, you know, the peacefulness and the clarity with IKEA and my divine partner and that love within myself a lot more solidly established, so that I'm not looking for that love in something outside myself. You know, it kind of reminds me of why, like, I have my business called Love Whole Self. You know, it's about being your whole self, your full self-expression. To me, that's what life is about. And so how can we be that full self-expression, that whole self? You know, when we work on issues to be more of that within ourselves, that whole self that we really ultimately are, then things in the physical form, you know, might fall into place or might occur. But we don't, like, make them happen. You know, we're not, like, on a, you know, a mission to, I got to have this and I got to have that. It just falls into place.
Yes. It's like how A Course in Miracles talks about, when you know your true self, yourself as the Christ self or the One or the Holy Child of God, that self with a capital S has no needs. It
right.
knows that form is the illusion, that we're dreaming a dream, and only the ego can grasp for love and seek to find it outside of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, this thing about, like, I mean, I'm just like so many, you know, women and people in general. Like, I've always wanted to be, you know, married to this, you know, this life partner who's like my ideal mate and this kind of thing, and, you know, a partner for life. Well, what I've started to, you know, release more and more, like you mentioned, that I've become more peaceful as I've evolved, and I have, because I've started to release the fact that, you know, that being married, for example, is something to be aspired to or is something better than. Like, it can be a real trap, you know, as you mentioned just now, with the illusion of, you know, this form, that, you know, we can get caught up in thinking that we have to have it be a certain way. And, you know, like, say, for example, if somebody really wants to, you know, be married to a life partner that's like a soulmate or whatever, you know, that can be a very seductive desire, and I definitely, you know, can relate. I have that desire. But if we're defining that our sort of happiness or our fulfillment in life, it requires that our life be a certain way, you know, then we're kind of screwed. You know, it's like having expectations that have to be met, and then we're missing what's right in front of us. And that's, I think, one of the dangers, is we have to be as aware as possible, though it's not easy, to be in the moment. Like, what's here now? You know, what am I experiencing now? And can I be fulfilled and in love with what it is that is here now, instead of wanting things to be other than the way that they are?
And that really is the only place where love is present, is in the now moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because in time, we're either looking to the past to correct the past or feel guilty about the past, or we're looking to the future to fulfill our expectations. And Rod, my partner, is really fond of saying, love has no object. Love is just love. And the minute you put an object on it, like I love you, you've actually lost pure love. Because love just is. It's like God is, love is. And so what you're talking about really is the only true love there is. What we call love here is more like I trade you very much instead of I love you very much.
Yeah, we don't really know what love is very well, you know, as a species. And I, you know, I can raise my hand and say, okay, yeah, I'm the first to admit that. You know, like when I felt like I was really in love with these guys that I mentioned in, you know, my teens and 20s, that was my sense of love, and it was very real for what I thought love was. But I've come to understand love in a different way, and it's not necessarily what I thought it was. And you know, on a more conceptual level, I understand, for example, like when we are really in our higher self or connected with Source, you know, that it's pure unconditional love, and that there really is very few people and very few times in our experiences where we feel pure unconditional love in human form. It's highly unusual to have such an experience, but it's becoming more and more, we're becoming more and more awake to that and to the experience of it as we evolve, you know, and get closer to our return to Source.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that brings us to how the Course in Miracles talks about special relationships, because the Course in Miracles is a path of forgiving our relationships, and says, there's a line in there that says, the special love relationship is the ego's chief weapon for keeping you from heaven. And I don't think it necessarily means that it's just a special romantic love relationship, but anything we are totally attached to, that could even be an addiction, or it could be a hobby, or it could be even a belief, an opinion that we're in love with or whatever. But that the special attachment to something else that we think is going to save us, if we, the Course talks about the special relationship being a substitute for God, and that the only place we can truly go for God is within, into the truth of our being, and it's formless, and it has nothing to do with the give and take relationships here. And so it seems to me like that is really what you have found with the Kia, where it's not a it's not like the relationships here, that really this a thing with the Kia has brought you to a greater understanding of love, and probably you're probably more loving in general to other people as a result.
Right. I think so. Yeah. And, you know, and it's like something that you just said now, I just forgot what I wanted to say about it. But, yeah, absolutely. It's returning to that part within, you know, where the true love lies. And then we share, oh, yeah, what I was thinking of when you said what you said, because you and I have talked about this before. I think you specifically brought this up to me. It's almost as if in our relationships in physical form, we're practicing about how to be in relationship and how to be, you know, loving in a pure way and how to be forgiving. It's like it's a practice partner in a sense that we have in a lot of our relationships with people, you know, in an intimate relationship. But it isn't always necessarily this true love on this deep, intimate level. And that doesn't mean that they're any less worthy or less significant, because that may, in fact, very much be what we came into this lifetime to experience. You know, getting back to what we talked about earlier, somebody's experience in this lifetime may not be to have a twin flame or a soulmate. It may be to work out some of the life lessons that are the key lessons for them that they chose in this lifetime with a particular partner who's a practice partner, you know, but they may never feel that really close soul level strong intensity and attraction that they might long for with this particular person, but that doesn't mean that that person's not exactly right and perfect for them, because that is what they needed in this lifetime.
Exactly. And I think that even when people meet their twin flames, a lot of times it is for these forgiveness lessons. I think our longing is really our longing for God, for our mm-hmm. higher self, that we know there's something better than this place, and we long for it. And the only conceptualization we have for that is the soulmate. And I know that in my case, with my twin flame, the lesson of forgiveness of how the relationship ended on a really, really bad note, when I forgave that, it brought me back to God. And that's what A Course in Miracles says, is that when we forgive what we thought was our substitute for God, when we forgive that special relationship, that's when we actually find true love and we find God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, can I just change the subject, because I wanted to add this and we, you know, we're
sure.
kind of getting close to, okay. One of the things I wanted to say, which has been really fun, you know, we're talking about all this non-physical stuff and, you know, the true love inside. But what I have experienced with IKEA, which is really cool, is that there's been a couple times where, you know, there's been like a playfulness, like as if he's actually here physically. Like one of the most outstanding experiences I had was when I went to Savannah, it was about a year and a half ago. I was in Savannah for the weekend before I went on vacation with my family, and it just became so like tangible that IKEA and I were out on a date, you know, and like we were having the greatest time, and I was like kind of bantering back and forth, talking with him, and then I said, you know, this is what I need to do more often. Like I want to just talk to you like you're my partner in physical form. You're with me every day. I'm never alone, and this is like one point that I really wanted to make tonight, is to remind us that, and because I need to remind myself, we're never alone. You know, even if in physical form, like in this trip, I was alone. I was driving by myself. You know, I was staying in a hotel by myself, but you know, I wasn't really alone. And so IKEA was playing with me, and you know, we were like, you know, we were dancing on the street together, you know, in my imagination, of course, you know, but, and I could feel all of the self-consciousness was just gone, because I said, I have every right, just as much as this person walking down the street, you know, with their husband or wife has to be with their partner, I have every right to just be fully self-expressed with my partner, even though people can't see him. And so I just started, you know, like between him and I, we were kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm tired of holding all this back. I don't have to, you know, be worried about what other people are going to think. And so I encourage myself, although I forget sometimes, to just act like that. You know, there's no reason. The world is my oyster, I think is a common expression. I can do whatever I want with this divine partner. It's just the limitations that I allow the 3D world to define and put on me that keep me more inhibited, you know. But in that vacation that we took together, it was just really all out there. And, you know, like I for example, I was playing at one point when we went to a restaurant and I was sitting at the bar and had a beer. And I said, you know, let's go out and have a really nice dinner. And, you know, and you're going to pay for it, kind of like in the traditional male-female way, you know. You have enough money. I don't have to spend the money. You have the money. You can pay for dinner tonight. And so it was just like joking with each other in that way and, you know, very playful. So I try to remind myself that I can live that way anytime I decide. You know, I don't have to be limited by the 3D, you know, parameters. But, and when I say 3D, you know, for you, I'm sure you know what I mean, but for listeners, it's kind of like this three-dimensional world that we live in is the form world, you know, where we think we're human. But there are other dimensions beyond the third dimension, and as we move closer to this time of 2012, we're moving into a different dimension, the fourth dimension and beyond of consciousness. So, again, I think this is kind of why I'm having this experience with IKEA and what it's, you know, sort of giving me an opportunity to be a model or an example of, that we can live beyond the third dimension now in this physical form, but we have to kind of take the lid off, you know, or take ourselves out of the prisons that we've put ourselves in and give ourselves permission to do things that we feel, you know, inclined to or that we feel guided to, that are more of a full expression. You know, enough of this nonsense about all these limitations in the 3D dimension. They're not real.
I love that. It reminds me of how I had a client about 5 years ago, and there was a book out at the time about having a conversation with Jesus. And she was a Christian, and she went out to dinner, and she had dinner with Jesus out in this restaurant. And she came in, she told me, she realized, she goes, oops, she goes, I was talking to him just like he was there in the booth, and the seat across from me was empty, and I realized I must have looked really strange.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is very real. And that's one thing I wanted to make a comment about, something you said earlier. It's almost like IKEA appeared to you initially in a form that you could understand, like all that love that came to you, and it kind of looks like Jesus, and you thought it was Jesus for a long time. Jesus is a symbol of unconditional love. And mm-hmm. So I think that when you said earlier about ask the Holy Spirit or ask your guides to help you understand what your mission is, if you're meant to have a soulmate, and if so, how do you go about that? We are given forms and ways to understand that are perfect just for us.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. That was where, because I was only in my late 20s at that time. That was like over 25 years ago. And that was the form that it came that I, you know, absolutely right, that I could relate to at that time. I also want to add, too, that, you know, this is very common for me and maybe for others as well when you start to enter into this multidimensional level of existence, is that there actually is a group of guides for me. IKEA is my, what I call my divine partner, but it's not exclusive to that alone. It's broadened my spectrum. Sometimes I feel an experience of a group of beings I call my divine counsel. And this has been for several years that I've felt like I've had a divine counsel that, you know, I can turn to. And at different times, it's a group experience, not just, you know, this one male that I call IKEA. I also feel very intimate sometimes with a female who I call Atricia, and she's my guardian angel. That's how mm-hmm. I experience it. So, you know, it's very common, and I encourage people to, you know, to open up to a sense of whatever type of guides, masters, you know, angels, whatever they, you know, form, it is familiar to them, to open up to that. For other people, including myself sometimes, it can be people who we knew in physical form who have left this particular form and are now, you know, living, you know, on the other side, as they say. I sometimes talk to my mom and my dad, who are both gone. I talk to Mark, my first love, who's gone. You know, so there's ways that we connect with these non-physical beings who maybe we knew, you know, in this actual physical form. So open up to the possibility of, you know, something much larger than any kind of limitation that we might set on it. And I just one last thing I want to say around that. I just recently learned this, although I've felt this for most of my life, but it validated, and that is that a truth that I feel is true, some people might debate whether it's true or not, that we have a divine council or council of advisors that we met with before we came into form in this lifetime, you know, in a soul type of energy that we were. We had this kind of meeting, if you will, you know, or series of meetings where we said, okay, I'm getting ready to go down to planet Earth and be a human. You know, what is it that I need to learn? What is it that I need to do in the laboratory? It's like we're going to be going down to planet Earth to do some research, to bring back to this level of non-physical form, you know, what it was like to have this human experience. And that's partly what Source does, my understanding. It's Source split into all these different souls so that it could experience what it was like to be in these other forms. And so we come here as a research scientist, if you will, in a laboratory, as humans, to report back, you know, okay, here's what my plan was when I went into this particular laboratory in this particular form, like in this time I'm a woman, you know, and this is what I experienced. And so there can become this kind of communication back and forth of here's what I'm experiencing in the laboratory in my research, and we're communicating with this divine council or, you know, council of advisors, not only when we're in non-physical form as a soul about what we're coming into this lifetime for, but we're sending feedback back up, if you will, to that to say, okay, here's what I'm experiencing. You know, can I refine this? Can I tweak this? Am I complete with this? What do I need to do next? You know, so it can be this inner communication, you know, where there's feedback going both ways to fulfill more of what we came into this life to master.
I actually had a client who had multiple sclerosis, and she was young. She was in her early 30s. And she said that shortly after she got her diagnosis, she said she had a dream or a vision, but she was not asleep. It was in the daytime. And she said what happened was in this vision, there was this group of light beings, and it was prior to coming into life on this earth. And one of them held up this rod, this stick or whatever, this red glowing stick, and said, "This is a disease on earth called multiple sclerosis. And one of you needs to take this because there's some really important work for you to do on earth." And she said all of the light beings in her group shrunk back. And the head, she called them the head cheese light being, said, "One of you's got to take it, and it's better if you volunteer for it than that I give it to you." And so all the light beings still shrunk back. So she decided to move forward and say, okay, I will take it. So she told me about this, she said, "You're going to think I'm crazy." And I said, "No, I won't. I've heard lots of things." So when she took it, she said that the guide said, "When you get your diagnosis on Earth, I will come to remind you that you chose this and that everything is going to be okay." And we've only got a minute left. I want to wrap up. But basically she said once she had that vision, she was no longer afraid, because when she had initially been diagnosed with the multiple sclerosis, she was so afraid of going blind and ending up in a wheelchair. And so, anyway, we've only got 50 seconds left, so I'd like you to repeat what your contact information is for our guests.
Okay. My website is www.lovewholeself.com. And my phone number is 734-262-9395. And can I just say a closing comment? It's going to be really hard to squeeze in 20 seconds or so, but the story you just brought up is beautiful, and that's perfect. What I think the biggest challenge that we face is, can we trust what our soul's purpose is and what our life lessons were that we came in to learn? Because sometimes we don't trust. You know, we question, especially with a disease like that, it can be easy to disregard and say something's wrong. But the more that we can trust that we're exactly where we need to be, when we need to be there, the more peace we'll have.
Right. So thanks a lot. The recording is all over right now, so
okay.
We can just hang up.
All
okay.
Right, good.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lori.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.